Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome here to Unity Center of Light, located in Bowie, Maryland. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. We're continuing with the Lent series that we've been working with. And, you know, if you get a chance, I know you might be watching this on Zoom, but I would always like to let you know, especially if you're new to this channel, that you can actually join us in a Zoom fellowship where you can hear the same message of meditation, but then, you know, also get to hear music, interact with other Unity folks, and also have discussion about the lesson. So you can find that link in your e-newsletter or your weekly update. So if you didn't get a chance to do it this week, you can check that and join us next week. And also, you know, we appreciate all of your donations to support Unity Center Light and what we're doing. If you would like to know how to donate, again, if you're new to this, you can just click on the Show More button if you're watching this on YouTube, and it'll show you all the ways you can support Unity Center of Light. And we appreciate all your donations. Right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thank you. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us, far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. Amen. And now we will have our daily word reading for today, Sunday, the 19th of March. The key word is comfort, and the affirmation is, I find comfort in expressions of love. Speaking the words, I love you, provides comfort for an aching heart and peace in times of uncertainty. Today, I open my heart to these loving expressions as a soothing balm for distress or grief. When I am concerned about another, love centers me in the truth that all is in divine order, no matter how circumstances appear. I enfold the people I care about in a sphere of love, encircling them in peace and protection. When I am troubled, I find comfort in others' loving words. I surround myself with those who offer solace in my times of need. I find encouragement in their kindness and compassion. As we share of ourselves in kind and loving ways, we hearten spirits and bolster faith, giving comfort to ourselves and to others. The scripture reading is taken from 2 Thessalonians 2:17, and it reads, "Comfort your hearts and strengthen them in every good work and word." Amen. And now we will have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So we're continuing in the Lent series. And, you know, each week we're trying to explore more about this idea of letting go. The Lent booklet is called 40 Days of Letting Go. And I have to admit that I changed the title of this talk. It was called Conspiring with the Universe, which is in tune with some of the authors I'm going to talk about. But as I looked up the word conspiring, if you know the word, it doesn't have a really good connotation. You really, in terms of the word conspiring, it's about conspiring to do something that's not good. So I changed it to cooperating with the universe, right? And that'll work much better for this lesson. So, you know, we find ourselves on a spiritual quest, trying to uncover the deeper truths about ourselves. That's what every week that we talk about is what April talks about in her Wednesday night class. It's always a discussion of trying to uncover the deeper truth about ourselves. And in some ways, it's a journey into the incomprehensible. In other words, you know, and in other ways, so it's a journey into the incomprehensible, but in other ways, it's a journey in which we are trying to find our way back home. a journey with which we are vaguely familiar. In other words, it's something in our DNA that knows that we have the ability to find our way back home, back to the truth of our spiritual self. But we do not yet fully remember the way. But occasionally, we get these tiny glimpses of the way. I wish if I was talking to you in person, I would look for you to acknowledge. You get these tiny glimpses of the way back home. So the question is, what is keeping us from remembering who we really are in truth? Now, the reading from this year's Lent booklet, remember it's called 40 Days of Letting Go, this is what it expresses. It says, whether we realize it or not, we are often stuck in old stories. You know, that's what's keeping us from finding our way back home. You know, that, you know, they're deep and they have a deep power over us. And many of these stories keep us in the, I like this, terrible twos, as in I'm too old, too unattractive, too broken, too ashamed, too unworthy. You know, whatever that might be for you, if you have any of those terrible twos going on in your mind. You know, and the continuous rumination of these terrible twos, constantly bringing them up in your mind, keeps us from envisioning how our life can change or be any different from the way it is in the present moment, okay? Now, based on these old beliefs about ourselves, we interpret, respond, and we make decisions about what is presently occurring in our lives. So these old belief systems keep running through our mind, and they kind of cause us to interpret and respond as we are making decisions. So we're making decisions from these old processes that are going on in our mind. So I purposely inserted the word ruminate, which means the repetitive thinking or dwelling on negative thoughts and feelings. Okay, now think about that, ruminate. You know, the competitive thinking and dwelling on the negative thoughts and feelings. And this is not to say that we're not always happy and joyful, you know, about things that are happening in our lives. It just, I think a lot of us may have these old dynamics still swimming around in our head. And think about it, this can come from past regrets, unwanted present circumstances, or fear of future events or circumstances. Right? And this mental emotional thought process can make change difficult, especially if what is required for change means we have to let go of what we're calling the terrible twos or whatever negative thought patterns we may be dwelling on, and, you know, be willing to accept a whole new truth about ourselves. That's the key, being willing to accept a whole new truth about ourselves. And yes, quite often, the new truths we need to accept for ourselves can seem incomprehensible. For example, here we are learning these spiritual ideas which are introducing us to the fact that in truth, we are spiritual beings endowed with the inalienable qualities of a spiritual being. Okay? And inalienable means that our innate divinity cannot be taken away from us, nor can we give it away. Okay? And so we're learning these ideas about ourselves, these what might possibly what I call incomprehensible ideas, that I am a spiritual being having a human experience, okay? That might be incomprehensible. But that is the universal truth about each one of us, in spite of what we may think about ourselves. So if you do have the terrible twos going on in your head, you know, I am too, whatever that might be, that might be interfering with the fact of you accepting the idea that you are a spiritual being having a human experience. That is the universal truth about you and about every one of us. Okay? So with this being our truth, we're actually bound by our present mindset. With this being our truth, we are not bound by our present mindset. So if this is our truth, we can shift to a different mindset. And we're learning that there is a spiritual, mental, emotional process, a spiritual, metaphysical process through which we can lift ourselves out of the limiting beliefs we may have about ourselves and our lives, okay? Which will position us, you know, once we can do that, once we can lift ourselves, I'm using that word specifically, lift ourselves out of the limiting beliefs that we may have about ourselves, it will position us to become privy to divine intuition, okay? Which leads to divine guidance towards a life experience that might match our true heart's desire, all right? So once we can clear ourselves up, clear these old things, let go, as the Lent booklet says, you know, 40 days of letting go, let go of this old thinking that I have running around in my head, it causes us to become privy, I like that, privy to divine intuition, which leads to divine guidance towards a life that matches our true heart's desire. And even though I said we could lift ourselves out of our limiting beliefs, it is actually through spiritual metaphysical practice of prayer, meditation, and spiritual contemplation that we place ourselves in, here it is, cooperation with the universe. Okay. So as it is explained in Psalm 42, God lifted us out of the pit of despair, out of the bog and the mire, and set my feet on a hard, firm path, and steadied me as I walk along, right? So, yes, you know, we're talking about lifting ourselves, but it's always spirit that's working in us. It is by working in cooperation with the universe that the divine within us lifts us up. So it's by working in cooperation with the universe, all right? That's the title. That's why I like that word cooperation rather than conspire, all right? It is by working in cooperation with the universe that the divine within us will lift us up, okay? So it's always a spiritual energy that's aiding us in our efforts to be lifted up to a higher state of consciousness. There is always a spiritual energy that is aiding us, working within us to help lift us up. The key to cooperating with this universal truth is to come to realize that there is more to us than what exists between, you heard me say it before, our hat and our boots, okay? There's more to us than we see in the mirror on the wall or the mirror in our mind. As Paul expressed, you know this, in 1 Corinthians 13:12, for now we see in the mirror dimly, meaning we're not yet capable of fully understanding all that we are. But it's through discovering this more of me than I realize truth about ourselves or about yourself that you learn how to cooperate with the universe to bring into your life what you want or remove from your life what you do not want, okay? So the book, The Alchemist, by Paul, I think it's Paulo Coelho. Paulo Coelho, thank you for that. He wrote, and I did change this a bit, he wrote, when you want something, all the universe cooperates in helping you to achieve it. Now, I will admit that what he actually wrote was, when you want something, all the universe will conspire in helping you to achieve it. But I like the word cooperate better, all right? And he explains in his book, The Alchemist, he says, this signifies the recurring idea of us wanting something and the universe aligning things for you to achieve it. It explains that when we first realize our dream, what it is we really want in our life, everything falls into place and works it out for us. But it is also realizing that as we trek forward in our journey, we will face challenges that can be created through both internal and external forces, okay? So it is these internal and external forces that we want to explore in this truth, I mean, in this lesson. What is keeping us from this, you know, really living the truth of our being, so to speak? And then we want to look especially at those forces that have to do with the battle. Here's kind of the heart of the lesson. Look at those forces that have to do with the battle that goes on between our head and our heart, okay? So our goal is to create a friendship, a relationship, an unbreakable bond with our head and our heart as we journey towards realizing our God self. Okay. Now, as one author puts it, he says, you must befriend your heart by listening to it. Then you understand why it is behaving a certain way or why it is telling you to do a certain thing. With this practice, you feel happy and complete. You feel these emotions because you are pursuing what your heart is telling you. Your heart always speaks the truth, and it constantly reminds you of what you truly want. Okay. So, quite often, you know, when we feel the desires of our heart urging us to, in a certain direction or to pursue certain goals, sometimes those terrible twos, okay, that we talked about earlier, in our head will try to talk us out of pursuing our heart's desire. You know, I don't know if you can relate to what I'm saying. You know, you have a thought, your heart is telling you, you give me, you feel this heartfelt desire to do something, experience something, whatever it might be, and it, sometimes the terrible twos come up and kind of talk you out of it, all right? And this is due to a disconnect between your head and your heart, which is why it is imperative to befriend your heart and really listen to what it is telling you. So it's getting your head to befriend your heart and really listen to what it is telling you. Now, in an article by a person called, huh? Oh, go back one, huh? Oh, go up two. Go up.
Up.
Yeah, and one more. There it is. Okay. So this James O. James, he is in an article he wrote called Deliverance of the Head. Okay. He says, the head is a symbol of your destiny and glory. It is the head that wears the crown, and the crown speaks with power, authority, and leadership. The head deals with positioning you in a certain way in your life, right? Now, to explain this idea that the head wears the crown, there's a saying that if the head is sick, the whole body will be sick. And if the head is happy, healthy, and well, the whole body would be healthy, happy, healthy, and well. So that when it says that the head wears a crown, that's what it's saying. The head kind of dominates all of what's happening in our body. So this is because whatever happens to your head, again, affects your entire body. So when your head is under attack, many unpleasant things can happen in your life. And you know what I mean by your head being under attack. You know, just think about your head, just use the word mind. When your mind is under attack, you know, it can cause many unpleasant things to happen in your life. However, on the other side of your mind-body connection is your heart. Now, in an article I think comes from Kate Cooper in her book, Band of Angels, because when I found this, I couldn't really tell who wrote it or where it came from. She says the heart, go one, huh? She says the heart is the location of our physical spiritual being and represents the central wisdom of feeling as opposed to the head wisdom of reason. Now, let me read that apart again. Make sure we distinguish it. So the heart is a location of our physical and spiritual being and represents the central wisdom of feeling as opposed to the head wisdom of reason. It is compassionate understanding, life-giving, and complex. It is a symbol of love, often known as the seat of emotions. The heart is synonymous with affection, okay? So, another one of my, you know, favorite affirmations, you know, now and then I share my favorite affirmations that I write into my gratitude journal every night, is this one. It says, I am grateful for being surrounded and enfolded in forgiveness and healing, and for God's eternal, everlasting grace and love in my life. Okay, let me say it again. I am grateful for being surrounded and enfolded. I really purposely picked those words, in forgiveness and healing, and for God's eternal, everlasting grace and love in my life. Okay, so the idea behind this affirmation is to create a bond between my head and my heart. And forgiveness and healing play a central part in this endeavor. See, so I'm trying to create this bond between my head, and just think, if you prefer to say mind, between my mind and my heart, my head and my heart, you know, forgiveness and healing play a central part in that endeavor. So we probably all have things in our lives we want to forgive or to be forgiven for, things we wish we hadn't done or said or thought, you know, to be true of someone or some group of folks. But in addition to asking for forgiveness, there is also healing that needs to happen, okay? In addition to asking for forgiveness, there's also healing that needs to happen. Maybe in our head and our heart, so that we do not even think or say or do whatever we were prone to do when our head and our heart are not working together for our highest good, okay? Or the highest good for others. So, you know, it's a complex process of creating and maintaining a divine union between our head and our heart, okay? And again, as this author says, the heart always speaks the truth, since it constantly reminds you of what you truly want. It will always tell you the truth about everything that surrounds you in your life. Avoiding listening to your heart, not creating a friendship with it, will only make the load of life heavier. But when you make a connection between your head and your heart, with time, you will begin to understand the true meaning of your life. Okay? So, let me say it again, just a part of that again. It will always tell you the truth. Your heart will always tell you the truth about everything that surrounds you. Okay? Now, this may be kind of a new thought for many of us. The idea that it is my heart that's telling me what's going on around me. And this is significant because all too often, we are sleepwalking through life, not really paying attention to everything that surrounds us. Okay? But this union, this friendship between your head and your heart is what keeps you or helps you cooperate with the universe. You see, it places you in a state of conscious and unconscious cooperation with the universe. In other words, once you have really worked on getting this union, this connection between your head and your heart, you a lot of times have this connection in cooperating with the universe, and you may be conscious of it, but because you're so have gotten so used to being in that state of mind, it may be also unconscious cooperation with the universe. That's when you really are working the dynamics of this whole spiritual process. So if with practice and with this inner friendship that you connect, you stay in the divine flow, whether you are aware of it or not. Okay? And in the book, The Cooperating Universe, How Nature Creates Complexity, there were several authors to this. I didn't want to list them all. But it says, if you think the universe is a cold and uncaring place, think again. If in an ever-evolving universe, everything from the smallest particle to the largest galaxy follows a pattern of mutual attraction and cooperation. We call this cooperative principle, I like this, collective orchestration. It is active everywhere in the universe. Now think about that term, collective orchestration. Thank you, sweetie. Mm-hmm. Collective orchestration. That within each of us is a unique way to think about our head and our heart working together for our highest good and the highest good of others. Orchestration. The working of the whole heart and mind and everything together, okay? So the book, The Cooperating Universe, explains that nature rewards cooperation in a significant way. Now, let me say this again, because this is important. Nature, okay, rewards cooperation in a significant way. For those who achieve inner cooperation, nature offers an escape route into a higher dimension. Now, that's another way of describing grace, okay, because grace raises you up so that negative energy you might have put out at a lower level of consciousness, once you begin to evolve and raise to a higher level of consciousness, that energy, you know, could come back to you, but you won't be there to absorb it, so to speak, or you will, it will not bother you in the way that it would have. Okay, so when we achieve this inner cooperation, nature offers us this escape to our higher dimension, what we call a higher state of consciousness. And we always talk about the spiritual journey as being the way to higher states of consciousness, and how this complex journey can be achieved. That's what we usually talk about. We talk about prayer, meditation, and deep spiritual contemplation as being the way of this journey. And that is true. But today we're adding to the process that the purpose of these spiritual practices is to bring into perfect union the activity of our head and our heart. Okay, so in the practice of contemplation, we silence our mind and our heart in order to deeply listen, being fully present with God and being aware that God is fully present with us. Okay? That's sort of the purpose of that. And there again, head and heart working together to achieve a greater sense of the presence of God in our lives. And we read in Ezekiel 26 through 27, that to have saving grace, it requires belief and trust, which requires the mind and heart working together. Now, let me go back, because I want to make sure you keep in mind that saving faith. To have saving faith, it requires belief and trust, which require the mind and heart working together. Therefore, the mind and heart must both be changed through the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So to repeat again, to have saving faith, I think I accidentally said saving grace the first time, but to have saving faith, it requires belief and trust, which requires the mind and heart working together. And it's explained that saving faith is not just knowing the truth. Saving faith is surrendering to it and being changed by it. See, it's not just accepting the truth and then never thinking about it again. Okay? You get what I'm saying? You know, you hear a truth, you accept it, but you really don't think about it again. Saving faith is the head and heart working together, using the belief, here it is, using the belief in the integrity of God as the anchor that keeps those two together. Let me say that again. Saving faith is the head and heart working together, using the belief in the integrity of God as the anchor that keeps them together. The integrity of God being our belief and knowing that God is real and active in our life and affairs. So as we read in Hebrews 6:19, we have this hope. We have this hope as an anchor for our soul, holding us firm and secure. Okay? So another source explained, your soul needs to be anchored to God because it is constantly under attack. Our soul needs to be anchored to God because it's constantly under attack by the many challenges of our life. You need to be equipped with the full armor of God to resist the attacks. Now, our work is to keep cooperating with the universe, which will show how to negotiate our way through the many challenges of life. Okay? So that's why we want to keep working to cooperate with the universe. And you say, how do I do that? The way we're talking about in this lesson, in addition to prayer, meditation, and spiritual contemplation, is to make sure you maintain this connection, this flow between your head and your heart. And yes, we are to respond to what's needed to overcome life's challenges. You know, stuff happens, yes. We're supposed to respond, do what we need to do to deal with it, okay? But it is to be done with our head and heart planted firmly in God and our feet planted firmly on the ground. Okay. Now, in another another author who wrote The Gifts of Imperfection, this is what she expresses. She says, authenticity is a collection of choices that we have to make every day. It is about the choice to show up and be real, the choice to be honest, the choice to let our true self be seen. Okay. So I think you'd agree that's enough to absorb for one day, right? So I'm going to end with this affirmation from the Science of Mind magazine today, Sunday, March 19th. And this is what it says. Today I proclaim my freedom. I release all limiting ideas and patterns of thoughts and behaviors that keep me living a life smaller than my soul's desire. I like that. They keep me from living a life smaller than my soul's desire. I am here to be me. I am here to be free. Right? And so it is. All right. Amen. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
So, Unity family, find that comfortable space right where you are. Allow your minds and your bodies to relax. Taking time out of the busyness of your day is like taking a deep breath of fresh air. So turn within now and take a deep cleansing breath, then release it. Let go of anything that is troubling you on your heart or your mind. These few moments of meditation clear a space for spiritual upliftment, spiritual comfort. You find comfort in knowing your inner divine presence. That's the same presence and power that is God, and it is available to you right now. This presence is guiding you through your day, informing you in your very next step. Whatever your question, you are assured that divine guidance is yours as you turn within. Now I ask that you take the following words as your very own. I let go of anything troubling my heart and mind. These few moments of meditation clear a space for my spiritual upliftment, spiritual comfort. I find comfort in knowing my inner divine presence. The same power and presence that is God is available to me right now. And this presence is guiding me through my day, informing me of the next steps I should take. I find comfort in knowing that God within me is my strength. Divine strength sees me through any challenge I face. My faith is strong to face whatever is before me this day. I walk in the strong assurance of deep faith, knowing God is my strength, and that divine love surrounds and enfolds me. Like a waterfall of love flowing in me and all around me, I am washed in the loving comfort of God. I am loved by God, and God's love radiates from me to all those I encounter this day. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. And now we will go into that secret place of the Most High, a place of peace, love, joy, and faith. And here we may unburden ourselves and give to God all that we cannot handle on our own. As we now come to the close of our meditation, you know that you are assured of the divine presence and power of God as your guide, your strength, and your comfort this day and always. We are grateful in the name and nature of our elder brother and way-shower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is, and forever shall be. Amen. When you are ready, come back to your surroundings.
Nice. Thank you.
Thank you.
So this is when we open our hearts and minds to, you know, think about the prosperity that flows into our personal lives. So this first affirmation we're going to do is for our personal selves, giving thanks for the riches, the bounty that flows into our lives. And, you know, we're not just talking about money, we're talking about health and, you know, relationships and all the wonderful things that, blessings that we have in our lives. So let's do this one together. It's prosperity prayer. It says, Divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. Thank you for all the blessings you provide for me and through me. Amen.
Amen.
And then this next one is when we think about, again, our spiritual home and all that we receive from our spiritual home, I ask you to hold your offering in your hand, in your mind, in your spirit as we say this offering blessing together. Together,
we bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. Amen. All right. And now you have
light notes. Yes. So light notes for today, March 19th. Next Sunday, March 26th at 1 o'clock, we will hold our annual membership meeting. This is a very important meeting where you will have the opportunity to elect board members to the Board of Trustees. We will also be sharing with you the church's finances and the future of Unity Center of Light. We need to hear from you, so please mark your calendars. On Sunday, April the 9th, Easter Sunday, we will hold our in-person service. We usually hold our in-person service on the first Sunday, but we decide to have it on Easter, the second Sunday, so we could celebrate the day with our Unity family in person. Also, Children's Church will be hosting an Easter egg hunt that same day, so parents, please bring your children or grandchildren to church. On Sunday, April the 16th, Lily Sandberg will be our guest speaker, and Safi will be our musician and singer. The next read for the Book Light Book Club is a book by Anita Morjani called What If This Is Heaven? How Cultural Myths Prevent Us from Experiencing Heaven on Earth. Following her near-death experience, Morjani began to embody truths she learned in the other realm, discovering that letting go of these outmoded myths allowed her to experience heaven not as a physical place, but as a state of mind, right here and right now. We hope you will read the book and be ready for discussion by Sunday, June the 11th at 1 o'clock. That concludes our announcements for today.
Okay, so it is time.
And it is time to bless the path that we each will walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal,
and
gusto.
Together.
I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful.
All right. So, and now we're going to do our prosperity, prayer for protection.
Prayer for protection. The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. Well, we really appreciated sharing this service with you and have you being with us. So we, you know, wish you a wonderful week. And
we hope to see you in the Zoom session.
Yeah, hope you see you in the Zoom session next week if you have never joined us for that. Remember, you can find that in your e-newsletter, the link for that, or your weekly update. So other than that, have a wonderful week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.